Welcome to the Empowered Serenity Podcast. I'm Brent Peake, a licensed professional counselor and therapeutic coach. Are you ready to reclaim your self-worth, reduce stress, and build stronger, healthier relationships? Then you've come to the right place. Each week, we'll dive into practical strategies and heartfelt insights designed to help you cultivate inner peace and live a more empowered, balanced life. That's the journey we're on together. From emotional healing to transformative connections, we'll explore a variety of topics to support you on your path to true empowerment and serenity. Join me on this journey to deep emotional healing and discover the peace and strength within you. Welcome to the Empowered Serenity Podcast. I'm Brent Peake. And today I want to talk to y'all about what I think is one of the most important aspects of a relationship, and that is the communication. Now, there are other key elements of being able to have a healthy relationship, but I believe that communication is the nexus of all of these other things. And specifically what I want to focus on today is this aspect that I want to refer to as relational listening. I believe that in order for a troubled relationship to begin to heal, and I would call this the holy grail of what happens in the relationship intensives that I do. It is when one person feels deeply and sincerely heard by the other person. Feeling heard, I think, is probably the most important thing that can happen in a relationship in order to begin a healing process. So, feeling heard. I want to talk more about that today. I want to talk more about this concept of relational listening. So relational listening, let me define that just a little bit. So the term relational, in my mind, simply means that there's no agenda in our connection other than the connection itself. I'm not going to try and change you. I'm not going to try and change myself for you. We are both free to be us, but we're also both open to influence from each other. And so being relational with each other means that we are not going to try and change anybody, that we are willing and able to accept each other where we're at in this moment. That doesn't mean there's never room for improvement. That doesn't mean we'll never have requests of the other person. But I think all of us know deep down that if you go into a relationship feeling like you need to change the other person, things aren't going to go well. And you know that when you sense someone trying to change you, things don't go very well. So being relational simply means that we're not going to try and change each other. That the only agenda in our connection is the connection itself. So relational listening means that the only agenda in my listening to you is to be connected to you. And I truly believe, based on the many, many intensives that I've done, the many, many family weeks that I helped host at the Meadows when I was an inpatient family therapist, that this idea of feeling heard truly is the turning point, and it truly is the thing that has to happen to help healing happen in a relationship. It is not about, and I know there's a lot of buzzwords out there, and I may take some flack for this, but it is not about conflict resolution. I've never had a training in conflict resolution. I don't help people resolve conflicts. And that might sound really, against the grain for a couples therapist, but It's not what I do. To me, that is a beneficial side effect of what we end up doing. Oftentimes, when someone truly feels heard and people have really communicated in a healthy relational way, their problems tend to either dissolve or become far more surmountable. When someone feels heard, there is a change in how you feel. And when that feeling state changes, your perspective of problems changes, and many of them do simply dissolve. And it came down to, I just need to know that it's okay to be me about this topic when I'm with you, rather than feeling like I need to change for you. So relational listening and helping someone feel heard comes down to just a few key principles here. So what does relational listening involve? Number one, it means being attentive. You have to be willing to be attentive to the other person and ready to listen to them. And we'll come back to that level of listening in just a moment. But number two, validating. You need to be able to validate where someone is coming from. That doesn't mean you agree. Okay. Validation does not require agreement. But it does mean that, hey, I know you're not crazy for thinking the way you do. Number three, curious. You want to make sure that as you sit down to listen to someone else, that you are curious about where they're coming from. Your job when you're listening is to get to know them better. Again, the only agenda item for relational listening is the connection. And you build that connection by being curious about who someone else is, what they're thinking, what it's like to be them around this circumstance or around this situation. And I love the Ted Lasso quote, be curious, not judgmental. And I will probably say that one again on this podcast. Number four, supportive. As you're listening to someone, your purpose in doing so is to be supportive of them. And then finally, collaborative. We need to know that we're on a team here. So these are the core principles of relational listening. That I'm not listening to defend myself. I'm not listening to try to figure out what I can use against you to change you. Those are not elements of an emotionally safe atmosphere for a conversation to happen. So we need to make sure that we keep those things in mind. So relational listening, there are three levels of relational listening that I want to get into today, and they get progressively more involved. The first one's relatively simple, and by the time we get to the last one, you've got a master's degree in listening. But level one, relational listening, is attentive listening. Attentive listening is that most basic listening level that simply says, I care about what you're saying right now, and it matters enough to me that I am going to sit here and listen in a way that lets you know that what you have to say is important. So how do we do that? Okay. Maintaining eye contact, making sure that you are listening with intent and that the person can tell through something as simple as your eye contact. Okay. Watching your verbal cues, the nonverbal cues. Well, the verbal cues as well. We'll get to that one in just a moment, but watching the nonverbal cues, there are things that we do that betray what's going on inside our skull. When we roll our eyes, when we sigh, when we cross our arms, these are the things that you've heard under what's often referred to as active listening. And that's certainly, active listening is definitely a piece of relational listening. Relational listening is about more than just a skill set. It is about a mindset. And so that's what I really want to focus on today. But there are some practical things here to let someone know you're listening. So attentive listening is mostly about those visible skills. Maintaining eye contact, watching your nonverbal cues, avoiding interruptions, not interrupting the person that's speaking. Now that means you're gonna have to control yourself, but we don't interrupt the person who's speaking. And then finally, attentive listening, there is some opportunity for you to speak, and that is to be reflective, to ask reflective questions. to reflect back to the person what you heard them say. I've often been surprised when I'm working with a couple and I'll have someone share and the other one's just listening. And by the way, we don't do a lot of back and forths. It is you share, you listen. Okay. And we don't trade places until the person who has shared feels heard. And so I don't know how many times I've asked the person who was sharing, do you feel heard? And they say yes. And seldom do they say no, by the way. These techniques really work. But they say yes. And when they do, I ask them, so how do you know that this person's listening to you? What are they doing that helps you feel heard? And I'm surprised at how often the answer to that question is something as simple as they were able to repeat back to me what I said. And that's reflective listening right there, which is part of active listening, which is a part of what we're talking about today with relational listening. That they were listening enough and attentive enough to simply be able to repeat back what was said. And it seems like a simple thing, but I can't tell you how many times I've heard people share that as the number one thing that helped them feel heard. Talk about low-hanging fruit to help heal your relationship. Listen to the person with the intent of understanding it well enough to be able to reflect it back to them. So I think what you're telling me right now is that you had a stressful day at work, you're feeling overwhelmed, and you just need some downtime tonight. Heck yeah, that's what I just said. Thank you. I love that you get this. So being able to listen reflectively like that is a key aspect of attentive listening. So attentive listening is the most foundational form of listening, and it simply lets the person know that I'm giving you my attention and I am listening to understand you. The second level of relational listening is empathetic listening. Now, empathetic listening, we take it a bit deeper. With empathetic listening, we have two things that we want to keep in mind. Okay. Number one, that we are showing empathy. And the other one is that we are mindful of context. So let me show the context one first, actually. So when you're listening to someone else, I want you to be aware of the context around what they're saying. We have a tendency to excuse our own actions by not seeing them as part of a pattern. When our spouse says to us, you didn't take out the trash again, this is the way you are, and they make it part of a larger pattern. And in your mind, you're excusing it because this time you had a good excuse, in your mind anyway, of why you didn't take the trash out. And so you don't want them to see it as part of a pattern. And I usually tell folks, when you are discussing someone else's behavior and you're sharing with them about their behavior, do your best not to lump it into a pattern. But when you are listening to someone share about your behavior, put it in the context. It is understandable that they would see this event as part of a larger pattern. So put it into context. Let them go ahead and put it into context if they are, even if you don't agree that this is a situation that belongs in that context, okay? But be considerate of the context if you are listening to the other person, because that will help with the other aspect of empathetic listening, our second level of relational listening, which is empathy. Empathy is probably the most important element that helps validate someone else and can help them emotionally feel heard through this process. And it's also probably the number one complaint that I hear from couples is, I get no empathy from him. She doesn't have any empathy for how I feel about this. Here's where empathy starts. Empathy starts by acknowledging what is accurate or understandable about what you've just heard. The person tells you, your spouse, your partner, family member, someone's telling you how some of your actions have affected them. And And let's say, they're talking about you did A and B and C. And you're thinking, you know what? I don't agree at all with A, but yeah, a little bit of B, probably true. A little bit of C, maybe a little more of C, probably true also. Acknowledge what is accurate or understandable. If they say something and you know it's true, yeah, I did that, acknowledge it. If they say something and they've interpreted a little bit differently, like you did this and I know it's because you're mad at me, and you weren't mad at them, okay, don't try to defend yourself and say you weren't mad at them. Just acknowledge that it's understandable that they would think you were mad at them. Empathy starts by acknowledging what is accurate or understandable. So you're basically letting the person know, I don't think you're crazy. I don't agree, but I don't think you're crazy. I get it. It's understandable. Acknowledge what's accurate or understandable. That is, in a nutshell, the best way to show empathy. And then considering that context as well to help you develop some more empathy. But acknowledge the emotions that they're likely feeling, and not just the anger. There's always other more vulnerable emotions under anger, sadness, fear, embarrassment. So be sure to acknowledge what you think those might be, even if the other person isn't expressing it. That's a really good way to help them feel heard. So empathetic listening, it validates what you're hearing. And again, validation does not require agreement. We do not need agreement. Agreement's the icing on the cake here. If we find agreement, wonderful. But agreement is not required in order to heal a relationship. There may be some basic values and principles you need to agree on, but when it comes to the details of a certain situation or even someone's interpretation of it, the most important thing at this point isn't agreeing. It is validating. Because if we make our goal to agree, then we're going to start trying to, well, we're going to think we've got the better perspective, the more accurate perspective. And in order to get agreement, we have to convince them that they're wrong and that they should agree with us. And that is a trap. You do not need to find agreement or a consensus around the facts or interpretations of a situation. People want to be validated. I was working with adult siblings one time, brother and a sister, and it was a difficult conversation. This brother just did not agree with anything he was hearing from his sister. And even as I was checking in with him, I just asked, what are you feeling as you hear her speak? And he was like, I'm frustrated. I'm angry. And at the end of the conversation, I asked her, did you feel heard today as he sat and listened to you? And she said, yes, absolutely. And I was a little surprised. And I'm like, how do you know he was listening? And she said, this was the first time that we've talked about this and nobody yelled. That right there is all they needed to be able to validate. And this situation, he clearly disagreed with her, but both of them were willing to give the other space. And he demonstrated really good level one attentive listening. Okay. And they both were able to practice empathy level two listening. Now, level three, the third and highest level of listening, of relational listening, is collaborative listening. Collaborative listening is when we've got the others down and we can actually start bending the rules a little bit. This is where we can get into the back and forth. But by this time, we have to have clearly established that we feel safe with each other and we don't feel like the other person has an agenda with us, other than simply maintaining a healthy connection and dialogue. Collaborative listening, you've got to have the first two levels as a prerequisite: attentive listening, empathetic listening. With collaborative listening, we can begin to really engage in dialogue. We can start working on finding solutions together, because the key element here is the word we. I'm not casting you as the villain in my story right now. We are on the same team. And we can trust each other and work together because we know deep down, even in the midst of our disagreements, we have shared goals, shared values, and we have hope that we're going to get there. I'm committed to this process, and I know you are, and we are hopeful that we're going to figure it out. So in the midst of everything that we might disagree on, we've done those first two levels of listening, so we trust each other. And we can begin to collaborate and talk about the obstacles that are in the way without anyone feeling judged and without anyone getting defensive. Collaborative listening is what we want to get to. But the problem is that we forget that the goal of relational listening is simply the connection, the goal of being relational. Relational means that our only agenda is the connection itself. And when we make it about being right and trying to get the other person to do this or do that, or try to stop the other person from thinking about us the way they seem to in that moment, then we are going to have some troubles here. So it is important that we have that mindset that we are in this together, that we both have expressed our commitment to each other and to finding a way through this, even when it doesn't look like there's a way through it. And so that is relational listening. Those are the things that we need to make sure we're focusing on. Yeah. So some of the things that I hear from people sometimes, objections to this, sometimes I might hear someone say, well, he never listens to me, so why should I bother? Here's my blunt answer to that. If there's something you want in the relationship, you're going to need to go first. The easiest trap to fall into is, well, you're not doing it, so why should I? I want you to do this. And then the other person says, well, what about you? You don't do that. And everyone ends up just retreating to their corners and waiting for the other person to come out and do something different. If you want something in a relationship, you've got to go first. Simple as that. Now, I'm not talking about abusive relationships. I'm not asking you to submit to abusive behavior. But it is in a typical relationship where we've reached an impasse. If there's something you want, then you've got to give it first. Okay. A lot of people will sometimes tell me I'm uncomfortable sharing my feelings. And let me translate that for you. It's not the feelings themselves. It is I'm uncomfortable with vulnerability. And many of us have really good reasons for being uncomfortable with vulnerability. So let me be clear. I'm not asking you to just do a big vulnerability dump all at one time. It is okay to take little baby steps. Maybe each evening you pick one uncomfortable emotion you felt throughout the day and you just share it with each other. Today I felt embarrassed when I spilled my drink in the break room at work. That is one vulnerable emotion, and just share it. Start light with little things, and that is okay. That does not have to become a deep, dark conversation about how you were humiliated as a child for this or that. Now, that's probably a conversation that would be good to have at some point in order to help build empathy for each other. But, not every conversation has to feel like a couple's therapy session. It is okay to start light with sharing those feelings. Get a list of emotions. Get one of those simple ones, not that big wheel you see on Facebook with dozens of emotions. Just start with a simple list of emotions and just pick one each night and share them with each other. Here's what I felt today. Here's what happened when I felt this. And then here's another one that I hear quite a bit. We've tried this before. It didn't work. Well, let me say, I've heard that before. And we did get things to work. So, by the time people have reached me, they've usually tried a lot of different things. A lot of people I work with have been to other therapists. They've read other books. They've been to workshops. And they know a lot. But that's not a guarantee that they've actually been practicing it the way it was intended. That's not a guarantee that they didn't miss something along the way that could have been really critical. And so I just ask people, well, what are your options right now? You could continue the status quo, or we could give this a shot and see what happens. There are easy and relatively inexpensive ways to get started with this process. you know, come see me for one session, come, you know, download this resource, whatever, and let's give this a shot. But a lot of people have tried other things before and they didn't work. That doesn't mean the next thing won't work. There are a lot of different ways to tackle different problems in our lives, and not every method out there works for every person. I urge you not to give up, because the only other option is to be miserable. And I don't want you to be miserable. So if you need help with this, give me a call. Reach out to me. Be happy to help you with it. And keep listening. I got a resource for you at the end today that I'll tell you more about. So it is important that we not give up. It is important that we recognize that people can change. I have seen people change that their spouses, their partners never thought they would change. I've seen people be able to do things, to be vulnerable in ways that their loved ones just never thought they would ever hear from them. I've heard people say things in a session that, you know, the other person says, it's the first time I've heard that, and it means so much. I never thought I would hear that. Relational listening is how you get there. Let go of the agenda and be ready just to listen. Start with the basics of attentive listening and watch your body language. Don't interrupt. Just sit and listen. And then empathetic listening. What's accurate about what you're hearing from them? What's understandable? You don't have to agree. Just validate. And then finally, collaborative listening. When we trust each other, when we know that we're looking out for each other and we can begin to tackle a problem, even one that we disagree on, without feeling judged just because we have a disagreement. So, relational listening. I do have a resource for you, so check the show notes. So I made a resource for you on this. I made a PDF, Mastering Relational Listening. Mastering Relational Listening kind of summarizes a lot of what we talked about today. So if you go in the show notes or go to brentpeak.com, you can just click on the button for that and download that. It's a free download. And then if you really want to take it further, there's information in those resources on an online course I have. It's a short mini course. You can listen to it. It's actually a private podcast feed, so you can just listen to this however you want to, called Rephrase Your Relationship. And in that one, I give you three phrases that I teach everybody I work with, every couple that I work with, three phrases that when used sincerely and appropriately will shift the tone in your relationship. But it starts with the relational listening. So go to the show notes or go to brentpeak.com and get your free download, Mastering the Art of Relational Listening. And then follow the links after that if you want to take it a step further and get the online course, Rephrase Your Relationship. There's a discount on that right now. It's easy to do. It's not expensive at all. So go check that out. And I hope you'll do that. So thanks for listening. This is my first like full length episode. And I would welcome your feedback. So go to brentpeak.com and click on the link where you can send me a message or an email. Would love to hear your questions. Would love to hear your feedback, and your ideas for future sessions, on what we can talk about in these episodes here. So thanks for listening, and, come back next time for the Empowered Serenity Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Empowered Serenity Podcast. I hope our conversation today has inspired you to embrace your journey toward deeper emotional healing, empowerment, and inner peace. Be sure to check the show notes for any resources that may have been mentioned in this episode. And don't forget to visit brentpeak.com for additional resources and information about working with me. If you found value in our discussion, please share this podcast with others who might benefit and consider subscribing and leaving a review. Your feedback helps us reach more people seeking transformative change. And remember, the path to empowered serenity is a journey, and you're not alone. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward with hope and resilience. The information provided in the Empowered Serenity Podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. always seek the advice of your physician, therapist, or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or mental health concerns. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast. If you are experiencing a crisis, please contact your local emergency services or seek immediate help from a mental health professional. The views expressed by guests on the podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Brent Peak or North Valley Therapy Services.